Hello everyone, welcome to the next installment of my podcast, Meet the Newbies. After the 2017 general election happened, a lot of new MPs made their first strides into Parliament. However, many of these new MPs will not be well known outside of their electorates. To try and change this, I decided to do a podcast, featuring one of the new MPs each time. This gives us the chance to get to know our new lawmakers, while giving them the chance to show who they are to the public. The MP we are talking to today is Deborah Russell. She is a New Labour New Lynn MP, who is holding the seat which was once held by former Labour Party leader David Cunliffe. Let's find out about her.
How's your day going, Deborah?
Pretty good.
How would you describe yourself in a sentence?
In one sentence, I guess I'm the sort of person who likes to get alongside other people and work with them to solve problems. There you are, that's one sentence. I could elaborate on that, but yeah.
Well, do you want to elaborate on that?
Well, yeah, as you might know, I used to be a university lecturer, and one of the things I most enjoyed about that job was when I could sit and work with one of my students and maybe get them from a fail grade to a pass grade, or to get one of my top, you know, better students from a B grade to an A grade. And of course, they had to do the work themselves, but I could work with them to help them get there. And I really enjoyed that.
Alongside your background as a university lecturer, what is the rest of your background?
It's quite varied. I started out as an accountant, and I worked in both the private sector and in the public sector. And then I went back to university and did a BA in history and philosophy, and eventually I did a PhD in philosophy. So I lectured in philosophy for a while, and then I worked in the public service as a tax policy analyst, then I lecture in various business subjects, so quite a range of experiences. I think what it shows is there's no ideal background to be an MP. There's a whole lot of different experiences that people can bring to it, and you really hope to have a good mix of people running the country.
Who is your greatest hero? Who inspires you to do what you do?
My greatest hero? Well, I have personal heroes, people who are personal to me, family, as most people do. I guess, amongst others, my mum, who I love and admire very much. But in terms of the sort of person I want to be, I guess it's people who are a little bit geeky, a little bit nerdy, but take that and turn it into working for the public good. So the people I really admire are people like Helen Clark, across the Tasman, Julia Gillard, and I have long been a fan of Hillary Clinton. They're all slightly nerdy people, but they all, you know, did their damnedest.
So when did you realise you wanted to get into politics?
Look, I've always been interested in politics, right back from, I guess, when I was at school and I realised what Parliament did, and I thought, oh, that would be fun to be involved in that. But at that stage, it was just a matter of thinking, oh, that would be fun, not sort of thinking what I really believed in. I guess the time when I really firmed up what I believed in was probably when I was studying philosophy, and in particular my PhD, which is in political philosophy. And that sort of helped me to develop a whole set of beliefs that then I actually, you know, got involved in politics that way. So we say politics and we often think MPs in Parliament, but this politics happens everywhere. So people writing commentary and people engaging in protest action, and people working with community groups, that's all political stuff. So I started getting involved in politics that way as I was writing my doctoral thesis.
You mentioned when you were in school that you thought being an MP would be fun.
Yeah.
Is it?
Actually, I'm still not an MP. At this stage, I'm still a qualified electoral candidate. So far, I've been really enjoying it, but at this stage, we're still working through the induction process and working on getting it set up. I guess, you know, maybe you should come back in 6 months' time and ask that question again.
I'm stealing from Paddy Gower here, but what would you march on the streets for?
Things that I would march in the street for? Children, really. That's what motivates me to be in this job, amongst lots of other things, is trying to make a better country for children. That's an emotional thing. I would get out there and say, we need to make this country better, so I'd march for child poverty. That's the emotional thing I would do. Again, going back to that kind of somewhat nerdy, geeky side, I'd march for democracy. I think the way we run our democratic country, where we're all equal and we all have equal say, if any of those rights are infringed, that's the sort of thing that would get me out in the streets. Years ago, I wanted to go out and march in favour of the bill repealing Section 59. Now, that was the section of the Crimes Act that gives permission to parents, as it were, to hit their children without being up on an assault charge. And I was very much in favour of that protection for parents being withdrawn, because I think if you hit a child, that's an assault and you shouldn't have protection for it. But at the time, I was a public servant, and public servants have to be very careful about whether or not they go on protest marches and the like, so I couldn't do that. But there you are, that's going back to children. I'm really passionate about children, you know, working for and defending children.
Do you think you'd want to become the Minister for Children one day?
That's certainly a job I would love to do. Our leader, Jacinda Ardern, is also very, very passionate about children and looking after children, so I think that's a responsibility she will keep, but I certainly want to contribute there.
Well, okay, so let's say Jacinda Ardern takes Ministry of Children, but she gives you a choice for one ministry.
Oh, one ministry. Can't have lots. Look, I'm a specialist in tax, so I'd very much like to work in some of those economic portfolios, so obviously Minister for Revenue, but the other set of issues that's always interested me is some of the issues for women, so I'd like to be the Minister for Women as well.
Right. What changes to New Zealand law would you be interested in making during this term?
Well, on the tax side that I'm interested in, there's a whole lot of work I'd like to do around reforming aspects of our tax system, and in particular the way we tax income we earn quickly, like salary and wages, versus income we earn slowly, like capital gains. I think there's something we need to do there. The thing that I would most like to do over the course of my parliamentary career is see a return to the family benefit. Now, that would have disappeared before you were born. But it was just a universal payment. So it went to every child, it went to their caregiver. It was just a small amount of money each week. And it really helped a lot of families. And again, that goes back to some of the child poverty stuff I'm interested in. So I'm really keen on getting that universal payment for children.
But is a universal payment the best way? Because, I mean, you've got parents that can afford to give their children good stuff. Having a universal payment the best way?
That's an empirical question. It's a matter of testing it against the real world rather than just an ideological question. What we know is a number of things. First of all, we have a universal payment for people who are aged 65 and older. We call it New Zealand superannuation, and we pay it to older citizens because they're vulnerable. So if we can go universal for people aged 65 and over, I don't see why we can't go universal for young people. That's part of it. The other thing is that, two other things. One is that there's some research around child poverty, which shows that the most straightforward way to fix child poverty is to give parents money. And we know that a small group of parents will waste that money, but in the great majority of parents, the money flows straight through for the benefit of the children. So that's another reason for just going universal. And look, the third reason is often it's cheaper to just go universal rather than trying to means test it. And if you want one way to just introduce a little bit of proportionality into it is that, as we do with New Zealand Super, you pay it to everyone, but then it gets taxed at, in this case it would be the primary caregiver's marginal tax rate. And that just, so if the parents are already earning plenty of money, that the child benefit would get taxed, and so they wouldn't get as much of it as, say, as a parent who was on benefit or in a low-wage job.
You're leaving Parliament. You have accomplished one thing, just one. What thing have you accomplished?
That universal child benefit. That I'm really keen on that.
I'm going to lay out some conscience issues. All right, so abortion, do you support decriminalisation?
Yes, I do. I'm pro-choice with respect to abortion, and I think it should be treated as a medical matter not contained in the Crimes Act.
All right, cannabis decriminalisation and possible legalisation?
Are you talking about medical marijuana or just recreational drugs?
Just general.
Oh, I'm really clear that on medical marijuana, it should be available, and we need to move on that as quickly as we can. In terms of a recreational drug, I think I still need to develop an understanding of how it affects particularly young minds. But I really think that we should be treating recreational drugs in the same way that we treat alcohol, which is quite a harmful drug as well. And we need to develop strategies for people to be able to use them safely, because they're going to. And where people become addicted, then we treat it as a health issue, not some kind of, oh, you naughty person issue.
So you mentioned treating marijuana as alcohol. Yeah. So are you suggesting we just section off a part of the supermarket for...
Oh, no, I'd probably prefer not to do that. I think it's rather more complicated than that. But in terms of the if you like, the moral status of it, because there's often a whole issue of morality tied up around it. I certainly think it should be decriminalised. All right. What we do from there is I'm not quite sure about as to how we regulate it. I'd certainly like to regulate it. I'm not sure that I want to see it sold in supermarkets.
Okay. Retention of the Māori seats?
Yes. And that's an issue for Māori, not for, you know, and of course Māori get to make that decision every 5 years in the Māori electoral roll option.
Right. foreign deployment of New Zealand troops, Afghanistan, Iraq?
Yeah, as a general rule, I'm pro-peace, if you like. I don't like us being involved in wars, but I'm also a bit of a realist. In a really nice world, we wouldn't be fighting wars. In the world that we actually live in, we need to be engaged with the reality of politics, I guess, and the reality of violence. I certainly favour our troops being there on peacekeeping missions. And I'm not it would be a case-by-case basis of whether or not we should be sending combat troops, because that's a different matter.
Right. New Zealand becoming a republic?
Yes, I would favour that, yep.
Okay. We have 120 MPs in the House. Would you support raising it or lowering it, or is it solid at 120?
I'd probably support raising it. I think we have about, 71 general electorates? And some of those electorates are incredibly big. So if you look at Clutha Southland, which is a physically huge electorate, I'm not convinced that all the people who are very thinly spread through that electorate get the same level of representation as, say, people in New Lynn, which is quite densely populated. So I think we've got an issue with the physical size of some of our electorates. So I'd probably like to see more general electorates, and that might mean that in order to keep the proportionality of Parliament, we need to have some more list seats as well. But I have no view, we might be able to keep the proportionality of Parliament under MMP with, say, 30 list MPs rather than 50. It's hard to tell. So it's a matter for the maths people to tell us. So it gets the people who are experts in how electoral systems work. But people say, oh, all those MPs wasting money. We run our democracy very cheaply in this country.
You mentioned Clutha Southland not getting the same level of representation as New Lynn.
Well, they've got the same per person, of course, but the MP in Clutha Southland has to drive for 6 hours to get from one part of the electorate to another, whereas the MP in New Lynn, like me, has to drive for 20 minutes. So it's much easier for my constituents in New Lynn to get to see me than it is for constituents in Clutha Southland to get to see their MP.
So, I mean, I think we should break Clutha Southland into more electorates?
I think we should look at increasing the number of general electorates so that the size of some of those large electorates is reduced.
Okay.
Yeah.
Assisted dying, is that something you'd vote for?
I will vote for David Seymour's bill to go to the floor of the House because I think the Parliament should debate it. Then I haven't made up my mind, because while in theory I respect the right of people to make autonomous decisions about their own lives, in practice I'm worried about the extent to which vulnerable people will be pressured into choosing assisted dying. And the vulnerable people I'm thinking of are elderly people and people with disabilities.
You're trapped on a desert island.
Okay.
You have to choose an MP from an opposing party to be with. Who are you going for?
An MP from an opposing party to be with. You know who I really enjoy Julianne Jenter's company. Right. So there you are.
Do you have anything else you want to say to us?
No, I'm just really impressed with this project you're engaged in. I hope you manage to get to speak to all the new MPs.
That's the aim.
Good on you.
All right, this has been Deborah Russell, MP for New Lynn. Thank you for tuning in.